We've talked about all sorts of things with Nicolette Mashile over the last couple of weeks during lockdown. Investing in a time where, well, we had to realize that nobody really has any money. We asked her about property prices, whether property is a good space to put your money. Pyramid schemes last week, which was quite interesting. The financial markets, she's very knowledgeable. Today we're going to be keeping it a little bit more relatable for most people. We're talking savings. Every Thursday morning, we talk personal finance with our financial bunny, Nicolette Mashile. It's just some, I don't know, some personal advice from someone who herself has been quite successful. So we could probably learn a thing or two. Nicolette, I need a mic check, please. I need a mic.
Good morning!
Yes!
Sisters, are you ready? Are you ready for the weekend? Batten down the hatches. They're saying 7 degrees maybe on Saturday. Who knows what's coming?
Listen, I am going to be in a bed the whole weekend. Mm. Absolutely ready.
How are you doing? Are you well? How's life?
I'm good. I'm well. How are you guys doing?
No. Rock and roll. I heard you wanted to chat a bit about saving, and I thought maybe you might have a couple of hacks for us. So where do you want to start? Maybe let's start with why it is actually important to save, if you can.
So, you know what's funny is that Robert Kiyosaki, in his book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, speaks about savings is for losers. And a lot of people always misinterpret what he's actually saying. And I think when you talk about saving, it's important to remember why you are doing it. Because ultimately, there are two things that you need to be able to do when you want to get good at your personal finances. The one is to ensure that you are fully covered for any type of financial interruption. And the second one is to secure your financial future. And saving is one of those tools that is going to assist you in really securing your financial future. And if you want to step it up, you can also start creating wealth with it. So I think it's important to understand why you are saving. Every single savings goal account should have a purpose. Because if it doesn't, that's when you're going to get discouraged. So, of course, in July in South Africa, we celebrate Savings Month. There's still a big concern that South Africans are not the biggest savers. But I actually want to differ on that. And I don't know how you guys feel in the room that vibe.
Okay, go on.
I think pretty good. I remember learning this a lot from my parents, where if we got 100 rand, they would make us like take 75%, put it away, and the rest we can spend. And they were very consistent in like opening up what's called like a little blue book savings, and telling us every month for birthdays or any special chores, etc. We did. They were very good in like reminding us not putting it under the mattress. You need to make that money grow. So I think the savings idea is very important, you know.
I'll be honest with you. I saved since I was 16 years old, and I bought my first house when I was 22. So
wow.
Like that was pretty cool. Yeah, but I was serial saving. Yeah, so I started saving when I was at school already.
That's amazing, Robbie.
It wasn't. I didn't pay for all of it, but I paid for like, I put a quite a big down payment on it, because at 22 you don't easily get a massive loan. You know what I mean? So
that's hectic.
I represent the part of South Africa that does not save. I recently started saving. I had no savings, especially when I was in varsity. Nothing.
Nicolette, does it matter how much money you save, or is it more about getting into the habit of saving? What would you say is people should focus?
So that's what I wanted to, that's exactly what I wanted to segue to, because, you know, in South Africa, we talk about not having a savings culture. And that's why I differ a little bit on, you know, all these other people that are saying that. Because if you ultimately look at South Africans, they save for what they hold highly to themselves. They save for what they think is sentimental. If you look at things like funeral covers, I mean, funeral cover is very big in South Africa. South Africans will never not have a funeral cover. That essentially is actually saving. Yes, it's an insurance product, but you are saving for something that you dare not have enough money for. So I always say, I think what we need to do is almost rechannel what we hold highly in South Africa. So more than just the embarrassment of not having enough money to bury your loved ones, could it be that you could be embarrassed for not having enough money to pay for your children's school fees? And then that's something that you can hold highly and become a sentiment that you would actively save for. So, and if you look at how much a lot of us contribute to a funeral cover, it's not a lot of money. So already that shows you that if you saving in an instrument that has compounding effects, you should be okay and you should be actually have enough money for whatever it is that you want to achieve. Of course, our goals don't look the same. Now, one of the other things I always say to people is to remember that it's not about how much money you are making. It's ultimately about how much money you are keeping and then also where you are keeping it. Last week, we spoke a little bit about some investment objectives. Now, one of the main objectives of saving is to really try your best to either save for emergencies, but secondly, save to invest. So that conversation with Robert Kiyosaki about saving is for losers, it really speaks, it's speaking to people who think that saving is going to get them, you know, wealth without actually putting that money into instruments or assets where it's going to grow. And I think that's where the game changer is. You've got to find yourself in a situation where you are putting money away so that it gives you a key into various investment opportunities.
I can't remember in Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Was the one dad his real dad, the other one the stepdad?
That's the movie, Rocky.
I've got to start reading the books and not watching the film. Nicolette, and a final one. It's another problem a lot of people have in this country. What about people who already have a lot of debt, like clothing accounts or credit cards? I mean, what do you do? Would you say to people they should maybe pay those off first or just keep on doing the bare minimum and then get their savings going on the side? What, just as a sort of last one, that's interesting as well.
So for me, when you want to deal with debt, you've got to employ the cash flow method, right? And the cash flow method is basically trying to optimize as much cash flow as you can. So there's a 3R theory around it. You've got to restructure. You restructure your loans. You've got to renegotiate your loans, and then you've got to reallocate that money. What does that look like essentially? There's a thing called a cash flow index that you can work out. If you take the total balance of what you owe and you divide it by your monthly payment, you should be able to get a two-figure or a one-figure number. Now, if that figure is above 100, we deem that loan or that debt to be efficient, so it doesn't take a big chunk of your cash flow. But if it is below 100 and the lower it gets and it's closer to zero, that debt is very inefficient, which means that it's taking a big chunk of your cash flow. And when your cash flow is taken, it means that you are unable to allocate that money to anything else in your life. So those are the debts that you do need to work on. And the nice thing about it is that you can employ that cash flow index method with the snowball method. Because once you can actually release some money, if you start tackling, for instance, generally if your clothing accounts that are very inefficient, those loans and debts are very inefficient. But if you can free up that money, you can then reallocate that money into the next debt, and then you can start squashing most of your debt as quickly as possible because you are paying additional into them. So it's important to just remember those. I mean, the first thing is to restructure, go to the financial institutions, try and get a lower rate, try and get different terms and conditions on your credit agreements. If that does not work, then you need to go and try and renegotiate, maybe get a debt consolidation loan. If that doesn't work, then it is time for you to actually start reconsidering the debt review process because you obviously are over indebted. So I think it is important to pay off short-term loans that are inefficient. And you will see that the most inefficient loans are the ones that really attract high interest rates. So they're not really doing you a favor by you keeping them. But at the same time, it is important to start building up your emergency savings. I can't stress it enough. We've seen it with COVID-19 lockdown, where people were really found, you know, in a catch-22 because they didn't have any emergency savings. When you are having to take a 30% salary cut, all of a sudden you can't pay for your living expenses. And that's when you need to be able to dip into your reserve.
Okay. Every Thursday morning, we talk personal finance with our financial bunny, the one and only Nicolette Mashile. Thank you again for making the time. It's a real treat to get to chat to you once a week and steal some of your life hacks on Mad Money. Thank you, honey.
Thank you.